Hi guys, and welcome to the Rondo. It's a sad day today. It's a very sad day, but yeah, man. Anyway, it's your guy AA, hosting as normal. I've got actually both my co-hosts with me today. It's an exec Rondo episode today. So I've got my guy JG. Tell him.
Oh God, man. What's going on?
I get why the energy is dejected. It's a sad day.
Bro, it's
Marcus,
a day,
tell him what's going on, bro.
Hello, Marcus on the pod. You know how it is.
Okay, on today's podcast, of course, we're going to start off with the departure of Klopp, the imminent departure of Klopp at the end of the season. I think it was a surprise news story for all earlier this week. Then we're going to move into essentially Klopp and his legacy and compare him to other Premier League managers. And also, you know, we might just compare him to Arsene Wenger and how he compares to him, do a little bit of a spotlight there. Then we're going to move into Xavi. Another manager has told us that at the end of the season, he will be leaving his job as well. A manager who has a lot of the Barcelona identity within him, who's someone who Barcelona fans thought was in there for the long term. So we're going to talk about him as well. Then we're going to move into the best upcoming managers and who we think is best placed to take that Liverpool job and that Barca job. So it's going to be an episode today very much dedicated to managers as we have a break on the Premier League. So nothing major to talk in the Premier League. We've had FA Cup and we've had AFCON. So that will be our last topic where we just do weekly rondos on those two things. So to start off with, Klopp leaving Liverpool. The news came out on Friday. I think it was crazy, man. Honestly, when I found out, Jalen put it into the chat. Trust Jalen to be the one to deliver such news to me, bro. I genuinely thought it was a fake account. You know when you think it's a spoof account or something? I go in, I see it's Fabrizio, I see that tick. And literally, as I went onto the TL, Liverpool literally just released that he was leaving. And bro, I swear, I collapsed back onto my bed and just looked at the ceiling and just thought, rah. I just wasn't expecting it. I think because he had obviously signed a contract extension during last season till the end of 2026. So I thought he'd see out the end of his contract. I know he's been kind of complaining about stress and also that he wants to go back to Germany, which I can understand. It's you know, it's a tough job, you know, being Liverpool manager. There's a lot on him. And I think sometimes football fans forget, like, he's German. You know, he's a German man. Been living in England, having to speak a second language to him for how long? He probably wants to go back and chill in his home nation. So, yeah, man, it was absolutely crazy, man. He's a hell of a man. And he's just the identity of Liverpool, I feel like, in modern history has been so tied to him. When you think about Liverpool in modern history, you think about Klopp, you know, 9 years, 10 years once he leaves. It's a shame, man. And this is why I'm wearing all black, guys, in remembrance of him. And yeah, man, Klopp, I just want to say to you, I don't have a drink with me today, man, but hats off to you, man. You're an absolute legend of this football club. I've loved every minute of you being here, the growth, the passion, the tactics, the style of play. You brought the joy back to supporting Liverpool, man. Hey, I love you, man. Moms, I love you, man. You're like a German dad to me, man. The way I've loved watching my club play the electric football, the style, the growth as we've got better and we've gone from, you know, I remember when we had Brendan Rodgers in that last season and we were playing Champions League, and I remember that game where Real Madrid just diced us up. And I genuinely, that game, yeah, I thought us competing at the top level,
a 3-0.
It was like a 3-0 or 3-1. Ronaldo scored a good goal, you know.
Banging goal,
group stages, bro. Yeah, group stages. And it was just like, genuinely, you know when the levels are just
so far apart.
So he basically left you in the same place then.
Yeah.
Your last Champions League game was against Real Madrid at home.
Yeah, but it wasn't like that.
Champions League final.
Would you beat?
Oh, yeah, that one. But we're better than that now. But anyway, no,
I remember
yeah.
they lost 5-2.
That's true.
I just never thought that game, and I feel like my whole time in that was funny, but that game and my whole time sort of supporting Liverpool as a kid, because Klopp's been the manager throughout most of my adulthood. I never thought Liverpool would be a team that, yes, bro, he's been the manager for like 9 years. I was 17 when he took over, so Klopp coming in, before Klopp came in, yeah, I feel that's like crazy. Liverpool were always like this. You know, like maybe some years we challenge at the top, but we go straight back down, eighth finishes, sixth finishes. Okay. Yeah, we had some stints of finishing in top four consistently. And fifth. But we never really competed at the top consistently. We weren't really a real domestic and European powerhouse. And for Klopp to bring that back to the club, along with absolutely thrilling, exciting football that I feel just embodied, you know, what the club was about, was absolutely amazing, man. It is such a shame to see him go, man, and nobody were able to really fill his boots, but...
Thank you, man.
We are where we are.
Time is, you know what
I'm saying? 6 minutes on that alone.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Guys.
Yeah, let's be...
Guys, I'm devastated, listen, man. I'm devastated.
Listen, well done, Tim, but respectfully, I'm here to see that he's gone. You see what I'm saying? I'm pulling up to the funeral today and I'm happy. You get me? The guy needs to leave. Well? I'm wearing black as well, fam. You get me?
This guy's ridiculous, man.
It's about time that this guy gets out of here and I think Liverpool will be better off longer term now, to be honest. Bring in someone else.
What an awful take.
And, oh, you know, steady the ship and build for the next gen.
Okay, how are they going to be better off?
I mean, Liverpool basically done what I told them to do, in all honesty. So I'm coming here to flex today. Because I did say last season, you know, that it was time for him to go and bring in someone else and let them have their little project. I don't think Klopp would have won another major at Liverpool. But, you know what?
I don't know if he will this season.
I'd 100% he's not going to. But anyway.
More likely than Arteta.
Anyways, as I said, you know, let's give him his respect. Obviously, he done a good job at Liverpool.
Brilliant job.
And you know, yeah, I can respect that still.
He's done a brilliant job. And like all of this reaction that I see on social media trying to diminish what he's done at the club.
Haters.
It just, you know what it is, yeah? It doesn't even really... Okay, it does bother me a bit. I won't lie, but you can't even rise to it too much because I just feel like it just comes from jealousy. Because 100%. Unless you support City, where fair enough, they've got Pep Guardiola, who is the best, probably the best manager of all time, definitely in recent time. Then you're just jealous because there's no other manager in the world who's better. Pound for pound, I honestly believe he's the best in the world. One of the best of all time. He's up there with probably Wenger and Simeone. But
Simeone, interesting.
Yeah, but honestly, those guys that are trying to, you know, just diminish what he's done, I think it's just so stupid. Seen? When you think about the rebuild, the way he's consistent at the top, the way he's challenged City, the way he's won trophies, like he's won everything. To try and say that he hasn't done a fantastic job is just, well, you're either stupid or you're just really committed to your agendas. But yeah, man, it's crazy, man. It's crazy to see him go.
Quickly though, yeah. You see the next manager that comes in, yeah? If they don't win a major in their first 4 years, yeah, are you going to be upset?
With where the team is now, I would expect you to get one.
Always be careful when you answer Jaden's questions because he always leads into something.
You see what's coming. You see, it's get very silly over here right now.
Because I feel like with where the team is now, I would expect you to get one. Obviously, it depends, isn't it? If you're getting in the 90 points and Pep is doing above that, then yeah, I'll be disappointed. But will I ask for you to leave? Probably not. But I would expect with where the team is now, I think...
His point is that Liverpool have not won a major in the last 4 years.
Yeah, but I still think you've got to see what Klopp's done, though. Despite that, he did win everything, it's tough against Pep. Like, I don't feel like anyone's looking at that. And yeah, of course, Klopp could have done slightly better, but you're not looking back at his time at Liverpool and saying nothing but absolute respect.
100%
for what he's done.
As I said, I respect it, but I'm not gonna sit here and ignore, you know, certain obvious points. Mm. However. You know, today's a day where we're gonna give him his fair dues. So I'm not gonna do too much, but I think obviously the next discussion really would be, you know, where does he rank amongst the best?
Yeah, it would
in the
be.
Prem times and...
I think so, but just before that, I just wanna just before that, just because I just wanna reflect on one thing in it because I feel like I just wanna talk on the memory, man, because I feel like for every Liverpool fan, with Klopp, there was a time where you really bought into the journey of what he was trying to do at the football club. And I just wanted to just take us back to, I think for me, well, to be honest, I can't, like, quite early on, I was brought into the ship, like the crazy Gengen pressing and the attacking front foot football. But I feel like the time where he really won me over was that 4-3 win against Man City at Anfield in 2017-18. What a beautiful game it was, man. I just had to talk about it quickly, just because I feel like City were the Centurions that season. They were beating everyone. They were just mad. And then for him to, I think he had, yeah, this was his first full season. And for him to take them on and win 4-3 in that manner, that's when I knew that we could compete at the top level against anyone in the game, man. Against anyone in the game, so...
That couldn't have been his first full season.
Like, no, it was his first. Second full season. But I thought, that's when I realised that we were going to challenge at the very top. That was a hell of a game, man. I just wanted to talk on a quick memory from him. But yeah, okay, good. Continue, guys. We can move on. But Klopp, man, I'll miss you, bro.
All right, man.
I'll miss you, man.
He's not gone yet, man. Calm down.
Jeez.
Yeah, man. But he is. Cool.
Saying done, yeah?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done now. We can now move on. Cool.
So obviously you made the statement that he's one of the best pound for pound, you know, managers ever.
Yeah, I think so.
So like amongst the Prem managers, as I said, I always look at it and I see, you know, I see Pep, I see Mourinho, I see Wenger, I see Fergie. And I think Klopp is obviously in that group now as well.
Mm.
But if we were going to rank them all, like...
What's my opinion?
Yeah, what's the order for you?
My opinion is number one, Pep. Number two, Fergie. Number three, Mourinho. Number four. Klopp, number five, Wenger. Or, you know, Klopp and Wenger, in the Prem, it's touch and go for me. It depends how you look at it. I'll say, we're going to have the argument later, but I think overall he's better. But in the Prem, I'd say it's touch and go. So I'm split on those two in the fourth and fifth spots, to be honest, Prem legacy-wise. Because when you look at Wenger's longevity, I do feel like you have to give him some credit. But me personally, I just think... I think he made quite a few mistakes in that Emirates era, which can't be ignored. What about your thoughts?
What mistakes did he make?
In my opinion, with Wenger, I feel like he did amazing in the Emirates era to like continuously finish in the top four, to take on that whole, you know, that real damning morality deflation of, you know, having to sell all of his best players continuously and still do well. But I just feel like tactically, Wenger got Fabregas and he just became a bit, once he lost all of those old guys like the Omris and the Vieiras, he got Fabregas and just became too obsessed with beautiful tactical football. And he didn't have enough steel and defensive structure in his tactics, which I think made Arsenal be needlessly too poor away from home with the quality of side that they had. I feel like that
was to do with teams taking out stupid tactics to stop us, bro. Kicking lumps out.
Nah,
us.
But even later
which
on,
now,
though,
which nowadays,
when Chelsea beat you 6-0,
which
instance,
nowadays would not be possible.
No, when Chelsea beat you 6-0, refereeing was of
yeah, but by then, but I think obviously past like
2013.
Bro, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But past
even when
that
they
time,
lost 8-2 to United, you weren't allowed
past,
to kick players.
Past a certain time, I'd say I agree with you. I think obviously. I said already, I don't think anyone or any of those managers faced all the problems that Wenger faced. And as much as you might say, you know, tactically he got worse, at the end of the day, like by then, to me, his legacy was set in stone. It doesn't really matter what happened after that. And I have a newfound respect for him now, mainly just because...
I'm not sure you can just
when I look
discount...
At, no. I think it's irrelevant personally, innit? And as I said to you, I think if you look at like the problems that he actually did face... How many other managers would have done, you know, better than what he done in that period? That's the question I want to ask you.
I don't think
anyone really would have done anything during that period, losing your best players every single season and not being able to reinvest. Because we saw, like, we've seen other clubs, yeah, you might sell your best players, but that money is going back into
it's
the
going
site.
Back into the club.
We
no,
didn't
no,
have
I,
that
I
at that particular
like that
period.
Is a fair point. And that is why I've got, you know, in my opinion, I've probably got, I'm split on who is the best pound for pound manager of all time that I've seen. With Klopp.
And I think, obviously...
But can you ignore his tactics?
I'm ignoring that part because, as I said, by then, we're talking about the legacy, to me, is set in stone. Same with like someone like Mourinho. Yes, he fell off towards the end of his career. But if you look at the prime years and that period, that's what I want to look at. I'm ignoring the other stuff.
So much. Like, it's like, yes, he became...
How many Premier Leagues did he win?
Three.
No, not Premier Leagues.
Oh, you're talking about other stuff. Yeah, I know. But that's what I'm saying. Like, by then... Your legacy to me is set. Like, after that, cool, you might fall off, but it's a different era. The best managers ever have been able to go through, like, different eras or whatever it is, yeah. But even if you look at that, you're not really going to get someone like a Wenger or Fergie again who can actually stay at a big club through all the pressure. You see, like, you know, the way social media moves now as well and the pressure that comes from being at a big club. Are you really going to get someone that's going to stay for 20 years?
I already say this.
Do something like that?
There's two managers who have been at the top level pretty much throughout their career, and that's Fergie and Ancelotti.
Yeah, exactly. And okay. I think now my thing is the reason that I've got the respect is because you got to think Klopp and Pep, they both took a sabbatical. Like the other managers, they just pushed through them periods, but the energy was still probably mad low and they just pushed through it, innit? So I have a newfound respect for them, and it's something I didn't really consider when thinking about Wenger from obviously before. He never had a break. He had the opportunity to go to Real Madrid, be in a situation that was a lot more stable, have the money that he wanted. And he said, no, I'm gonna stick through this period, probably knowing that it was going to kill him, you know, honestly. But he done it anyway. He took the hit.
In the club, man.
He took the hit, innit? And I think, do you know what it is as well? I think the time that we actually moved out of the stadium was a really poor time in terms of the way that the squad was shaping up, because we came to the end of that invincible period.
It was a
we were basically rebuilding the squad. You're rebuilding a stadium. And obviously at the time, I don't think we chose the best like financial route as well to go down when acquiring the stadium, obviously moving into it, because other clubs were able to prepare for that in the future. And I feel like the move might have come a little bit too early for us.
Yeah, but I feel like when you did it, I don't feel like the TV money in the Premier League was enough to kind of sustain you. Because I feel like other clubs that have done better, I don't think you can really put that on Arsenal too much. They did better because the Premier League was very rich. Like you think about Tottenham. If the Premier League wasn't so rich and they had that TV money, they'd be in the same situation.
But that's what I'm saying. Timing-wise, I just feel like a lot of things were off around that time and you had to rely on so many different things. It didn't work out for us. So
I feel like we're there now then. So you spoke about PL legacy and I feel like it's quite split. On the whole, in your opinion, like who is the better manager, Klopp or Arsene Wenger?
I think Wenger overall to me was the better manager, but
why?
I have respect for both of them and what they've done. I think, as I said, if you look at like the problems that Klopp faced, what would you say is like his biggest issues?
Probably coming into teams with low quality and low budget,
which was similar to the situation that obviously Wenger came into, and he was going up against a Ferguson that was spending like freely during that period. Our transfer record, I think, was 15 mil up to like after the Arshavin deal. Yeah. United was spending that in the early 2000s, more than that.
Ferguson was spending a lot more than him. Yeah.
I think the Rio Ferdinand deal was like at least 30 mil, right? It was like 28 mil during that period. The equivalent now would be like close to 100 mil. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, Ferguson was continuously doing that. Wenger came into a league, he changed the mentality of a lot of different things on and off the pitch.
Revolutionary wise.
If we look at like the stuff when it comes to sports science and how people looked into like nutrition and that was set by Wenger in this league. No one else was really taking that seriously beforehand. And I think if you look at like the style of what he brought in eventually, I think someone like Fabregas was really important, him bringing him through and kind of changing the mentality of what type of players could play in the midfield in the Premier League. I think Wenger just impacted the league more than what Klopp done. I think during that period where Klopp obviously done well, you know, you could argue that Pep probably had a bigger impact on the league. If you look at all the teams now that are playing out the back, for example, playing more his style of football, Klopp's football is kind of more, it's more similar to like what the traditional like English principles, when you think about like the working hard and, you know, the pressing coming from the passion, the energy, all of that stuff. That's all that stuff that I feel like has kind of been there, but Klopp has kind of just extended it a little bit, whereas Pep has bought like kind of a new thing. So if we're looking at impacts, I think Wenger had the bigger impact on the league. I think if you look at it objectively and you look at what they both won, I mean, Wenger won more titles, but it was, if you look at over the longer period of time, of course, like it doesn't look as impressive.
Yeah.
But my question to you would be, if Klopp stayed for another, let's say 10 seasons in these current circumstances, do you think he would have done?
I think he would have won two more titles. I don't think, you know, definitely when you're thinking about the Champions League as well, which Klopp's
very strong in. If we're considering that his energy would have been, you know, depleting over the time.
To be honest. I mean, at the end of the day, he stepped down because of low energy, and Wenger managed to keep on going, who faced even tougher circumstances, which you have to give him credit for. And like I said, he did.
I'm not giving him credit for going longer than he should have.
Fair, I think obviously true.
The last five, six years.
The decision making of staying. But do you know what it is? I was thinking about it, and I'm thinking that if I'm a guy that's gonna take a club for a period where I know I can't spend, my best players are getting taken, fam, your pride's gonna tell you, listen, when we come out the other side, I need my time now to restore my reputation. By then
he was just done that. He started spending the money wrong.
That's the thing, because I remember there was even a summer like we spent like over 100 mil, which at the time, you know, for us was a big window. But it got spent on Xhaka Mustafi and Lucas Perez. And that was the same like summer that I think we tried to sign Vardy and we tried to sign Kante as well.
Yeah.
And he let Kante go. So that type of decision making towards the end of his Arsenal career,
it wasn't great.
Big flop. But then I look at on the flip side, and I think if Klopp had stayed and maybe got access to money, obviously he's rebuilding the team now. He rebuilt the first team extremely well. But you think last season, if he actually had the money, to get certain deals through. Someone like a Casado might come to Liverpool. You don't know how he would have ended up.
I feel like
he spent 85 mil on Nunes, for example. He's still, we don't know whether he's going to deliver the goods long term. So I think if he did stay, I think, you know, he's probably going to take more of a hit to his legacy than really building on top, in my opinion. I don't think he would have done.
I feel like he could.
I don't think he would have done
it.
If he had the motivation,
I feel like ability wise, he would have been fine. But I just want to come on quickly on Klopp and Wenger on the whole as managers. Now, firstly, I do think it's very close. And like I said, I feel like they're two of the best pound for pound managers of all time. But I feel like Jalen sort of limits the argument sort of purely to the Premier League because he's got that natural English bias. But I think when you look at their careers on the whole, I feel like Klopp just edges him because of the two Bundesligas that he won against Bayern, which I feel like is a tremendous achievement, which is often brushed past by English fans and the English media. No, the Invincibles is very good, and the titles that he's, I think, so if we look at,
that's what I'm saying. No, but if you actually look at which one's better, though.
So Wenger's got the Invincibles, he's got two other titles with Arsenal, right?
Yeah.
And then Klopp has two Bundesligas with Dortmund, one of which where he broke the points record, by the way, and then he's got the 99 points with Liverpool as well. And then on top of that, he's got a Champions League. I think then when you're looking at Wenger and you're looking at his European legacy, I feel like it's quite poor for a manager of his standard. He never won the Champions League. Wasn't really a kind of consistent powerhouse in the competition either. So I feel like when you're looking
during a certain period,
let me just finish. When you're looking at that, for me, you've got to go with Klopp because I feel like domestically they're quite equal. And in European legacy-wise, I feel like Klopp is much more impressive.
My biggest issue with this is that every time it's Klopp versus like Pep or someone else, it's, let's use context. Yes, let's use all these other things. Yeah, but then when it comes to Wenger and Klopp, suddenly it's, but Klopp won all of this and Wenger only won three titles and da-da-da. So what is it? Are we looking at context or are we just judging it?
Well, I just compared it. Wenger even has longer time. Like I didn't.
But I'm
even
saying,
are we
looking at it objectively or are you taking into account all the different external factors? Because as I said, if you take
Wenger
into,
has about like
if you
10
take,
more years of management,
if we take that all into account, in my opinion, Wenger is the better pound for pound manager because his problems are harder to deal with. 100%.
But he didn't win anything though. Like,
Klopp in those same circumstances.
I feel like Klopp could do the same thing.
No, he couldn't.
Klopp is never going invincible. Before we spent the Coutinho money, we were finishing
Klopp
top four.
Klopp is never going invincible. And I think, obviously, if you come to the... As I said, there's people out there that know that is the best achievement or the hardest achievement that has happened in this league. 100%
it
is.
No, it's not.
Centurions is not better than going invincible. Of course it is. Centurions is probably easier to do.
So that's the thing. So Centurions and the Invincibles are in the league. Who wins it?
The Invincibles, 100%.
What
we had this
about
discussion.
Who wins it?
You think the Centurions are beating the Invincibles?
The Centurions got more points.
Yes, because we had already won the league. Like four games to go, bro. We baked off.
You were
drawing
well before that.
No, bro.
Draws.
We baked off. We baked
there
off,
was 12
man.
Draws.
We baked off still.
There was 12 draws.
And as
bro.
I said, if we were going I think I said to you before, yeah, I think Pep is the one manager that can bring the best out of other sides competing against them. Yeah. And if we look at like, you see all those managers.
So you think
that
you're gonna
look
up more than 100 points?
All the managers that we discussed earlier, yeah, if you go through all of their best teams, I think they're all better than Pep Centurions.
One second quickly, I just want to go back to what you said. You said about the Invincibles, how you'd already won the league. Is that an excuse? Because if you look at that Liverpool team, they had won the league by February and they got 99 points.
Yeah, they got their 99 points, but they were projected to do way more than that, by the way. They'd won their first 26 games out of 27.
Yeah, we got COVID, didn't it? COVID, we
break the season.
What does that mean?
Just broke our rhythm.
So what do you think you would have got if that did come?
I feel like we would have broke the
record. You should have done it anyway.
When we were playing before COVID hit, bro, the rhythm we were in, bro, I just...
They're unstoppable, that
we were literally just... can't believe
they're
that
unstoppable.
COVID
came, they came to the Emirates and lost. They went to Watford and lost. It's not unstoppable. Whereas I can genuinely say that my team didn't lose. That's what I'm trying to say.
I think the last topic now is, and I think we're kind of coming into nicely, is the different sides across all of these great managers. Like, how do we rank them? So I think the sides that we have is, let me just go to the chat. So we have, because we had an argument about this. It's taken me a while to...
I think it was Wenger's Invincibles, Pep's Centurions, Fergie's team with CR7. I think that was like
2007-09, and Klopp's
Liverpool, and Mourinho.
And Mourinho's
4-6.
Yeah. First, Marcus, you haven't spoken too much. Why don't you rank them?
Oh, so if they all to come up against each other, obviously I've got the Chelsea heart. I've got the Chelsea bias. I'm going to be honest. I feel like a team that only can see the 15 goals in a Premier League season is almost impossible to get past. I know you're going to big up the Centurions. I know you're going to big up the Invincibles, but I genuinely...
Oh, wait, actually, sorry. Before we go into this, are we going for City Centurions or are we going to go for City Treble? Which one are we going for?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think the Centurions are better, man. I'll be honest. Like,
they're better to watch as well.
Okay, cool.
So as I was saying, yeah, Mourinho's 2004-2006 team, I feel like that's the best because I feel like it's the hardest achievement to replicate. Like, no one has even come close, not even close since then, to replicating
such
this feat.
Such an anti-football style.
Fair enough. The Invincibles, Liverpool almost done it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't say almost, though.
Okay, but no one's almost even done what Chelsea's record has.
That's a good defensive record.
The closest has been 23 goals. That's a whole 8 goals away from it, man.
Anti-football.
You might not say it's anti-football, but it wins games. Mm-hmm, so I'll have them at the top. I'll probably have the Centurion second.
Okay.
Invincibles third. And I'm going to have to go with Klopp's team last, actually, and put the United three-peat team in
fourth.
Okay.
I don't think it's the three-peat team, though.
It's about
the Premier League.
They won three-peat, and then they won last season.
I think that team is better than Klopp's, but I think with Klopp's team...
You think so?
Yeah, I think the only reason that I put Klopp's team at the bottom is just because I think if you look at the weaknesses of each side and the weakest areas, I think you guys have that the most. Like I said, in midfield, I don't think your midfield is close to the standard of the other sides that we're discussing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look in the other areas, of course you had the Salah and Mane, but all those other sides, like they have, you know, a player in there that's like almost top five, basically.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? So okay. I think if you look at it from that perspective, if they all went up against each other, I think Klopp's team probably does finish fifth. That's no disrespect to them.
Mm. So, I mean,
they're
a great side.
You said they all have a player in the top five. We got Alisson, Van Dijk, and Trent.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You guys have that, but but all the other sides basically have those type of weapons as well. And they have a more, I think, the complete floor level of the team. Yeah, it's more complete. It's more balanced. I think the experience of those sides, the know-how as well. I said already,
we had that.
Yeah, you had that, but you have the weakest area, bro. You have the weakest midfield. 100% back, like it's clear.
We do have the weakest midfield, but in my opinion, I think those teams are all greater than our teams because at the end of the day, they broke records and they will be remembered for that. Klopp's Liverpool team never really broke a record. You know, they didn't win a treble. They won the league the fastest time.
Who'd you put them ahead?
I don't think they're mad memorable. If you're talking about in terms of quality, though, I only think...
crazy. I don't know what I'm about to say, but it's crazy.
In terms of quality, I feel like it's mad close, but I've only got the United team, and then I feel like the it's tight. The City team, I would have to say. But actually, funny enough, the City team, I feel like the City team that won in 1920 were better than the Centurion team. I feel like they were more. Was it 1920 or 1819? That team that got
98 points.
I'd have to edge them. But I feel like in terms of quality, I feel like we can go toe-to-toe with anybody and I've got us above Chelsea's team and Arsenal's team. Because I just feel like in terms of quality and actually playing as a unit, we were so on job. And that's why we were able to achieve points that all those teams haven't really got close to.
I think Klopp's team is more of like the classical team in terms of like it favoured more towards individualism, in my opinion, rather than... Yeah, it was a system, but at the end of the day, you relied on guys to game break to win. It wasn't really like a, you know, patterns of play thing where we're going here, and then scoring a goal.
There's patterns of play.
I think it's more we're relying on people to do. And I think the older sides are kind of similar in terms of the way that they played in transition. I think they were able to soak up pressure if they got away from home. And I think when we look at like, that's why when I look at the Centurions, I think they're a very good side. Obviously, you guys spoke about how, you know, well tactically drilled they were and how good the system was. I just think... If they came against these really like well balanced complete sides full of players who are really experienced in this league, I just think it's a completely different type of task to what they've already had against the Liverpool side. I just think it's a different type of beast, and I think going against like the Invincibles who be able to sit there, soak up the pressure, and then be really ruthless in transition, the same as Fergie's team, the same as Mourinho, I just think they would have the edge on that City side.
I agree with the Centurion side because I feel like the Centurion side were weak in transition. We beat them in the Champions League like 5-1 in aggregate. Yeah, you know, kind of bullying them in transition. But after that, Pep really managed his team to deal with counter-attacks.
That's what I'm saying.
So
you're talking about after that, though. If we're talking about that specific
side. That specific team would struggle against those sides because, yeah, you know.
And I think they're all very good in transition.
If
you took the treble side, I still think there's weaknesses in that side, bro.
What's your ranking?
We watched the treble side play Madrid and Bayern and smash them.
Yeah, but that's
them.
What
and
I'm saying. Even if you look at those, okay, listen, like, I was even thinking about this on the way here, but even if you look at Bayern, they didn't have a recognised number nine. There's a clear like weakness there. That team's not fully balanced. You go to Real Madrid, the reason that Madrid had problems wasn't to do with the experience. It wasn't to do with the quality. It's because they didn't have the legs to get around and even just compete in the midfield. I think they were playing like Modric and Cruz against them. And the manager got slandered for that after. Yeah. So if you then go and look at all of those Premier League sides and you think about what their weaknesses are, I just don't think they play into the hands of Man City.
That treble winning side played Arsenal and Liverpool in the league when they did well.
Our Arsenal team that was missing the likes of Gabriel Jesus and Partey and whatever it was, they didn't play us at full strength.
Okay, but
they didn't play. Arsenal side is not at our team last season.
With four centre backs at the back.
Yeah,
man,
but our team last season is not as good as the Invincible. So it's irrelevant
they're not as
anyway.
Good, but
my point is
to suggest that the Man City can't deal with transitions. They've got like
I don't think
who,
that
they, who
I,
do
I
they
think,
have at
I think the older sides
had like Ake, Stones, Diaz.
Yes, they're all getting mooty, bro.
Akanji.
Ornery Ronaldo and Drogba are dealing with that defense, bro. 100%. 100%. Yes, they will, bro. They will.
Not like that.
Who's
man.
Did? Okay, so you tell
bro,
me. You
and
tell
deep
me.
As well. They're going to control the
no,
ball,
bro.
By the way. They're going to control
they, who
the
do they
ball.
Play against? Who do they play against now that is up to the level of those three men that I mentioned in the big games?
No, there's not a lot. No,
that's what I'm trying
no
to say. One, so no if one, bro, no if they one, came no. up again, you think Stones, Diaz, Rodri, and them
course,
could deal with the likes
of
Henry,
those guys are
could
gonna,
deal with Drogba,
no, of
could deal with
are
Ronaldo.
Them, but
are you crazy?
City are gonna hurt you, bro. They've got a lot of quality.
Nah, man. I think, as I said, I think the older sides. You look at like Chelsea can see the 15 goals. Yeah, you look at like the nature and the structure of our team, the know-how of a United team that Ferdinand and Vidic and Evra and those guys. You think they couldn't be able to deal with
that? They had Rodri, Gundogan, and De Bruyne in midfield.
That doesn't matter, bro. That doesn't scare man at all. If I look at like the older midfield, I can't lie, like.
If I had Vieira,
Gilberto, and I had Bergkamp against them, man, I'd be cool. I'll be honest with you.
They're gonna control the ball.
And we'll like, soak it
Pep's
up.
Coaching
that's
as well.
That's, I ain't got a problem.
I feel like you look at City, that treble winning team, and you think that yeah, they could. But they're cool.
Nah, man. I think
well,
as I said, those sides.
You see the teams
that we're discussing. Yeah,
and
if
they've got Haaland on top.
If you look at how balanced they are, and if you just look at every single aspect of what makes a good team. They all have that.
They're very complete.
They have yeah. like what are the weaknesses? Like you can't tell me what they're missing.
When you think De Bruyne and Haaland aren't going to excel in those games?
I'm not saying. I think the difference in you two's arguments is that he's focusing more on how the attacks of before and how they can soak up pressure in the teams of before, and he doesn't feel like City can propose that much of a threat to them. Yes, City can propose a threat, but I feel like those teams are more equipped to deal with it than we have teams of
100%.
Today. That's just the truth.
They are
a bit more equipped, but there's going to be space. Like those teams, apart from Mourinho's Chelsea, who probably would sit back, they're going to want to bring the game to them, and
okay,
there's going to be
okay,
space.
Okay, but if you look at it, the balance of it, yeah, the other teams are more likely to hurt City than City are to hurt them.
Yeah,
why?
100%.
Why? Yeah.
KDB and Haaland aren't going to hurt.
We've seen KDB and Torre. They're
amazing players. But,
bro, I'll be honest.
But
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Even if I look at like Ashley Cole, yeah, going up against like a Sterling or a Sane, I'm happy.
He's locking them off.
That's what I'm trying to say. So I'm looking at the different areas. I'm thinking De Bruyne against Vieira. I'm happy with that. Do you get it? De Bruyne can hurt you, but Vieira's going to do a more than good job dealing
with
it.
Is a good...
And I look at Chelsea's midfield
yeah,
and I look at that.
Like De Bruyne's not playing physical.
I'm not saying that, but they had Makélélé there, they had Essien in the same midfield. That's two men that could probably deal with my man, bro.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And then we look at the flip side of it and I'm looking at, do City have the facilities to deal with the best players of those sides? I don't think they do.
Yeah.
What are Man City going to do to stop Thierry Henry? What are they going to do to stop Drogba?
City have played against some quite top attackers and been able to, you know, do decently against it.
Like?
He had to take off Fernandinho, like, you know,
obviously, Kyle Walker.
That wasn't the treble winning team. That was the season before.
Even if I look at Kyle Walker, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Vinicius is a top attacker. Of course, he's not on the levels of these guys. I'm pretty sure, but like, we're acting like City couldn't have played against PSG and won. Like, you know, they could play Mbappe.
Yeah, but
again,
we're looking at completeness. That's not a complete side, bro.
It's not a complete side.
Do you get what I'm saying? So I'm looking at...
But that City side can deal with top... I think... you're thinking that I do get your point, and they would struggle a bit with the quality of these attackers, but I feel like you are thinking a bit of the City of the old, in that they can play against top attackers, bro, and they're not going to run riot. Yes, of course. They're going to get the opportunities to hurt them, but
I'll be real.
Pep is going to make sure that there's a plan in place to deal with
but
the
I just
top
don't
players.
Think, I don't think his defenders are good enough individually to deal with that. And even as a unit, they're going to struggle because there's a lot of players on those sides that can make a difference. Yeah. How are they going to deal with that? Who's going to be tracking, like, let's say Lampard, yeah, when he's making them late runs into the box? Who's tracking that?
Rodri's not doing that.
Bro, City are not, they're not players like that, bro. I'll be honest with you.
If you say so, but we got to move on. So next on the list is Xavi.
Good riddance. Good riddance.
So Xavi has, yeah, quite alarmingly, you know, Barcelona have not been in the best form. It doesn't look like they're going to win La Liga. And their fans don't have much faith for the Champions League either. I also think that, I don't know if they're out of Copa del Rey, but they also lost the Super in the Super Cup recently. They haven't been in the best form overall, and he's been getting quite a lot of criticism. And he's come out and he said that he's going to step down at the end of the season, and he doesn't really feel like he's the right man for the job, essentially, to take Barcelona forward. And he's also said that the pressure of the job has you know, kind of become too much for him to be that type of manager that can be there for years and years, like a lot of Barca fans were expecting. So, Marcus, you said good riddance there. What's your thoughts on that?
Personally, I don't think Xavi has been the right manager for Barcelona from the start.
Okay.
I know people are going to come back with the answer saying that he won the league for them, but if you looked at how the other teams were performing in that league season, Real Madrid were really off it that season. They weren't good enough. So it was kind of a season where Barcelona played decently well. I wouldn't say he installed a brand or philosophy of football that took Barcelona to a level higher than they have been in the past, or even equivalent to that. And if you watch them in the Champions League that season, they were awful.
They were awful. Well, yeah.
And obviously you're seeing it this season where with the likes of Real Madrid and Girona performing to a higher standard than Barcelona. Just look way off it. They look way off it in the league. They look way off it in the cup games. They look way off it in the Champions League. And he's just been riding the buzz from that trophy win. But if you saw the cracks in last season, you would know that he's not the right guy. So
why do you feel like they're not that good? Is it tactically or?
It is tactically. I don't feel like they have a structure all around. I feel like he has an idea of the type of football he might want to.
Oh, sorry. No, I was talking to Nees. Needs to switch the camera.
I feel like he has an idea of the type of football he wants to play, but he doesn't have an idea of how to structure the team. Even the personnel he's brought in, like, if you look at the attacking personnel they have, it doesn't really make sense in terms of building a front three or a front four. So they have Lewandowski, they have Yamal, they have Felix, they have Ferran Torres, they have Rafinha. I'm just naming countless names. And yeah. I can't, even in my head, I can't picture a structured front three that I'd make out of all of these players. They're all very different profiles who don't really complement each other at times.
Mm. Do you not think he deserves time to figure that out, though?
He's had enough time at the club.
That's quite a lot of time.
I think it's harsh, personally. I think it's harsh.
No, you go on.
And I think, obviously, he made the point that, you know, Barcelona are never going to have a Fergie-type manager at the club. And I think his case kind of does prove that in a certain aspect, because he's come in first season, a rookie manager, into a Barcelona side that is not the most stable side out there. Financially, they have problems. And he went there and he won a league during his first season. I think just because this season he has...
Is it his first season?
Yeah.
It was his first season. He's gone there and won a league. And I think you look at, like, the Barcelona a few years previous to that, like, after Messi had gone, were in ruin, bro. Like, he's taken them from a position where they were not even close to Real Madrid, and bought belief back. He brought young players through. He's bought some, like, you could say that he hasn't got, like, a designated front three or whatever it is, but I think he's shown that he is able to bring something to this Barcelona side. I think the question is,
what is that?
I mean,
he's improved them.
He definitely had a style from last season. I think this season, obviously, with the players that he's brought in and the fact that he's trying to probably keep them a bit more unpredictable, he hasn't got that right. But I think as a rookie manager that's come in and won the league during his first season, surely he deserves a bit of time to figure that out. And
Barcelona, he deserves time, but he stepped down, hasn't he?
Yeah, he stepped down, but I think obviously he's done that because of the pressure that came with it. And they were looking to probably sack him. So he's basically just left before they had that opportunity. But my question is, obviously, if Barcelona want someone that's going to consistently come in now and you know, challenge for the league every single season, who really out there is going to do that in those circumstances?
I don't think a lot of people are going to take the job.
That's what I'm trying to say. So it's like, they got to make a decision. Is it a thing where, you know, we're going to let someone come in and you know, they might take a couple of years to get up to where they need to be, but longer term will probably be in a better position. Or do we take a risk on someone that's probably old, a bit more washed, like a Mourinho or whatever it is?
Oh, no way.
And it's not going
to
work.
They're going to have to go for a young manager, but he's going to be so stressed. I feel like they should have been more patient with Xavi. Like, I do feel like Xavi was a bit overrated. I do think the league that he won was a very transitional season and it was kind of there for him. But I do feel like he improved the club. He was an ex-player, so it was easier to get the fans on side. And I do think as well, you do have to have some sympathy with Xavi with the mess that was around him. Like, you talk 100%. About the fact that he doesn't really have the most cohesive front three and he hasn't recruited too well. Barcelona, he can't really pick players that he wants.
They brought in a lot of players.
Bro, but they have to pick. They have to pick who's available. They have to pick.
No, they don't.
They have to get lower players.
Somehow, Barcelona have always found a way to get the player they wanted. Which player have they gone for that they didn't get?
If you're looking at attackers, though.
They literally wanted Lewandowski. It's not about the money.
Actually, he didn't want a younger striker. Lewandowski was there for cheap.
So that's the reason they went for Lewandowski. Is that what you honestly believe?
I'm not necessarily saying, but they do have to. They can't, like, in terms of priorities, they can't really go for who Barcelona would normally get. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I think the team is good enough to be higher up in the table. Yeah, but I think at the same time, though, like, last season, he overachieved, in all honesty. Like, he's coming to a squad that probably wasn't supposed to win the league last season. So, does that mean him winning the league last season has now made it?
Nah, I feel like last season they should have. Because of how poor Madrid were.
I don't think you men are actually deep in, like, how bad Barca were before Xavi got there. I don't think you're deep in it.
They're still finishing top two, bro. Like,
yeah, but they weren't. But they were left in a poor position, and they still had to replace Messi. It really had to be like he had to come in there really like steady the ship type of thing, and he won the league. He won the league title in his first season as a rookie. Is this what we're doing in football now, man? If it was a situation where maybe he's like eighth or something, like, cool, he's not challenging for the title, but he's going to be Champions League next season.
I'm not going to give him crazy credit. I'm not in Marcus's camp, but I'm not quite where you
are. I don't think another manager would have come in that first season, won the league, and then be in this situation the season later. Probably just be around the top four, maybe challenging for the league. I don't think they would have got over there.
Many managers could have come in last season and won that league.
Good managers, good managers.
And I also think that, if you look at the quality of La Liga this season, it's like, it's very poor. I don't know if you lot, man, watch a lot of it, but it's very poor. So
that league is
for Barcelona to be where they are, a club as big as Barcelona, questions must be asked.
Yeah, it's true.
I just don't know.
All right, moving on. Upcoming young managers. So I feel like the first two questions is, we may as well do the Barca one first, since you just spoke about Barca. Who's coming in to take that job?
You got to just take risks now. There's not really a big name in the game.
It was silly.
So it's going to be the same normal names on the table, but because it's Barcelona, I put a bit more Spanish and Iberian managers on the table.
Can they come for Tel?
They could do. I don't think Tel would.
Tel won't leave though. I don't feel like Tel has really finished the job he wants to at Barca. Also, when you look at the situation that Barcelona are in, I feel like Arteta would be very foolish to kind of leave Arsenal so early in his project and go there. It's a complete, you know, mess. Maybe if Barcelona were where they were meant to, yeah, if I was Arteta, I would jump 100%, but they're not. It's a very tough job at the moment. So
I'm going to give four names from least likely to most likely. So I'm going to go Arteta, and I'm going to go Xabi Alonso, but because he's Spanish, but because he's the Real Madrid links, I highly doubt he's going to go there.
No, I don't think
then I'm going to go Amorim, who's the Lisbon manager. He's touted to be quite a very good manager.
Where's he from?
Sport in Lisbon.
No, what language? Oh, he's Portuguese.
Yeah. And then actually, De Zerbi. I feel like a lot of teams are going to be in for De Zerbi in the summer. Exactly. And he does play a brand of football that the Barcelona faithful will like and will want to get involved in.
I think De Zerbi is quite a good shout. I think that's the one that they should probably
go for,
yeah. I don't know if De Zerbi's had such a good structure at Brighton. He might be looking at it and thinking, oh boy, in terms of the type of job to take on, especially because, you know, you never know. I think Pep's contract runs out in 2026 as well. So he might have his eye on the City job, but then you think about City and the financial charges against
Pep might be an option as well. Pep has always said, if Barcelona ever need me, I'll go back.
Oh, I guess so. You could actually. It will be interesting who they go for, but I think De Zerbi's their best bet. They should go all in for him, but I don't know if he'll take it because he might be looking at it and thinking, you know, for where I am in my career, I could probably get a job which is a little bit less of a beast, if you will. But I think in terms of style, in terms of the age, in terms of what he's proven, I think it would be a very good fit for Barcelona, and would be a good, it would be a good, good sign or good thing for the La Liga, because at the moment, you know, the Prem is kind of taking the best talent, managers. The best managers. Yeah. So it would be a good sign for them to take, you know, one of the top upcoming managers in our league.
What do you think for Klopp? Who's going to replace Klopp? What's your option?
So I feel like for me, there's only really there's three options that I think are a likelihood, but only, so the three options are Nagelsmann, De Zerbi and Alonso that I take in at this time that I think is likely. For me, Nagelsmann, tactically, he's a bit too adventurous for me. So I wouldn't go for him. I also think he's just got into that job at Germany, so let him stay there. I feel like really for me, it's between De Zerbi and Alonso. And I feel like Alonso's a better fit anyway, kind of outside of the football, because he's obviously been at the club. I think kind of coming after Klopp, it's always going to be a drop-off. So you're going to want a manager that at least has something outside where he can, you know, have that natural link to the fans. But even from a footballing perspective, Even from a footballing perspective, I prefer Alonso's tactics, just because he plays a little bit more with that game pressing, front foot sort of pressing football. And De Zerbi's is a bit passing, a bit slower. And I feel like having Klopp now, with the fact that we've had Klopp brought an identity to Liverpool, which I want us to keep now, that high press, high energy football. Like Jaden said earlier, it's quite aligned with British values of football, and Liverpool is a staple club for British football. And I think it suits us, it suits Anfield. I don't want to see that high energy, counter-pressing football come away from Liverpool now. I feel like that's a part of us, almost in the way that, you know, Arsenal play kind of beautiful possession football and Chelsea play anti-football, you know? So, yeah. Alonso for me.
You're getting Thomas Frank, but anyway.
Alonso for me, 100%.
The end of the day, mate.
Anyway, thank you for coming to the Rondo.
Yeah.
See you lot next week.
Thank you for coming to the Rondo, guys. Like, subscribe, and all of that.
You can't find it, man.
But all our managers.